Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Comedian's Tea Party. In this episode, I've got the wonderful Jez Norris. He's just a really lovely guy. We have a really, really lovely chat and have loads of fun. It's a really stupid conversation that we have the whole way through. It's absolute nonsense, and I really enjoyed it. So I look forward to recording with him in person, because hopefully it'll get just as weird. Big thing that we're shouting out for Jos is he has got a show that is streaming live between the 20th and the 26th of this month of July 2020. So if you're listening to this in the future, you've missed it, but hopefully there'll be more opportunities. Sounds really good from what he's told me about it. It's put on by Objectively Funny. They're producing it and it's going out via Citizen Ticket. So listen to this in time if you can, and then go and check that out, because it should be really, really good. Knowing his work in the past, it's going to be incredible, I'm sure. So one of the things we talk about, it's a lot of fun, talk a lot about oast houses, which neither of us really know what it is particularly. He does describe it, and he's not entirely far wrong. It's a hop kiln. So yeah, I don't know what that is, but that's what it is. Should listen in to learn about the dangers of riding a bicycle in London. Definitely continue listening to find out who or what Red Hot Reckless Rudd is. That's a very interesting moment. Jos talks about how he went to school with the heir of the Twinings factory fortune. I don't know. And we also talk about Bugsy Malone, and just get in touch. Let us know if there's any other films that you think should be done in that way. You'll see what that means when we get into the conversation. Hopefully he does indeed remake that. Yeah, main thing to remember is don't forget to go and check out his show 20th to the 26th via Objectively Funny. And stick around until the end, and there'll be some more shout-outs talking about some gigs that I'm doing, which I'm very excited about. But in the meantime, it's a great episode. Enjoy it. I'll see you at the end.
Hello, I just realised what I'd done. I had the cover over the camera.
Ah, right.
Classic.
Yeah, I get that
mistake.
A lot.
Yeah.
How's it going? How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, good. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing all right. Keeping busy.
Cool. Yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's hard these days because there's nothing to do. But
yeah,
if you can make yourself feel like you're doing something, then great.
Absolutely. I find the best thing to do is write a list of things that once upon a time you may have done.
Yeah.
And then just tick them off. And
yeah.
You don't have to do them. You just
just continue to tell yourself that at any point you could.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the thing. It's more important to have things that you can start rather than things to actually do.
Yeah. I mean, that's deep, isn't it?
Yeah. Quite proud of that. Right. I'll put that on a fridge magnet.
Yes. And I will wear a metallic t-shirt and stick it to myself. I think that's the most convenient way of doing that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how you get pop philosophy out there these days.
Right. I have got an official intro, so I will.
Really? I'll keep quiet then until I'm.
It's fine. This is generally everything that happens before that is still part of the podcast.
Right. Is it one of those ones where you say, oh, we don't start until this point so that people relax, but then actually you include all the stuff beforehand anyway because it's more natural. I like those things.
Yeah, sort of, except I don't make that sort of knowledge. I just say, oh.
Right. I feel bad for having flushed it out into the open there.
Yeah,
it's a good tactic, though.
It is a good tactic.
To get people when their guard's down.
Absolutely, yeah. And then we get chat like this, and then if at any point the conversation becomes more performative, people think, oh, what's going on there? That's not who he really is.
Yeah.
I've already
forgotten how to be performative. Well, I've either forgotten over lockdown how to be performative, or the opposite. I've forgotten how to be myself, and I'm not sure which it is at the moment.
Life's just one big performance.
Or it's just become very one note and very mundane constantly. I can't really work out which it is.
Yeah, there's only one of those we'll make money. So
yeah, that's the worry.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I'll start. It's
right.
So go on. What are you?
No. Sorry. I was just making noises.
Really. Oh yeah. Good. That is.
I do that sometimes.
That's largely what conversation is, I find.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's just the right noises at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Right. Hello. I'm gonna do it. I've started.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you. I'll keep quiet now.
Good.
I'm done. I won't speak for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, I'll give you a nod at some point and then you can...
Great.
Yeah, one more sentence. Yeah. Hello and welcome to episode 26 of The Comedian's Tea Party with Si Deaves, with me, Si Deaves, and this week my guest is Jos Norris.
Now, shall I
go
say...
Go on, yeah, absolutely.
Hi,
yeah.
Hello. Sorry, I was keeping quiet until I was told. Hello.
It's good, like
How's
a professional.
How's everybody doing?
We're all very well. Yeah, good. I mean,
I can't reply, can I? Yeah,
no.
Again.
And I often ask them, and they never tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. They could be, you know, not there.
Yeah, but I guess that's the nice thing about recording this. They can catch up whenever they want.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They can get around to it in their own time.
Yeah. They'll be listening to
this. I send them all my very best anyway. I hope they're having a nice day.
When we're both in our 80s.
Right, really? Wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's when people...
I hope they stay safe.
Yeah.
I
hope the pandemic has ended.
Yeah, I think it's fine now. It seems like we can just do whatever we like. It's all great.
That does seem to be the case. I think that was the case a couple of weeks ago, but the government didn't let us know.
Yeah, but now I think it's really kind of do whatever you want, double down.
Yeah.
Just get out there.
Absolutely.
Get out there and make a bit of money.
Yeah, I thought I drove to Kent yesterday from...
Which bit?
Near Folkestone.
Oh, yeah. Did you see any oast houses? That's all I know about Kent, is it's full of oast houses.
I don't... I mean, maybe. What's an oast house?
It's like a hut. No, it's not a hut. That's doing it down. And if anybody's listening and is like an oast house person, sorry. It's like a round stone house, and its roof is a funnel. You know when you squeeze out icing out of a tube,
yeah,
to put icing on a cake. The roof is like one of them, and I think hops come out. I think it's for brewing hops.
Oh, okay.
And it's got like a special chimney,
like a grain silo type of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Okay.
But for brewing. I might have got that wrong. Somebody listening may well know more about oast houses than I do. But
it's fine. When I'm editing this, I'll go back. I'll do the research and then I'll...
Yeah, that sounds good. And then, yeah, you can do a footnote that says an oast house is actually XYZ or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think they've got a lot in Kent.
Yeah, it's the Garden of England, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, they've got a bit of everything. I think they've got a steam train. I think they've got one of the only remaining steam trains.
Really? That does seem like a very Kent thing to have.
Yeah, yeah, they would, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Trust them.
And that's it. That's all I know about Kent.
Yes. And, well, so basically I went to, I drove my fiance to pick up some files from her boss's house.
Whoa.
And,
cool.
And you could see France from his garden.
Really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Where's this? Dover? No, Folkestone.
Folkestone, yeah. Well,
is
near
Folkestone.
Near
on the
Folkestone.
Same bit of channel?
It must be.
Yes, it must be.
Yeah.
Wow. Can he... You can't swim there, can you? Oh, no, you can.
Well, yeah.
People have.
David Williams has.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you've got to do it.
You've got to know what you're doing, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably got to be able to swim at least two laps.
Yeah, I reckon.
And,
just to build up. I think Tim Fitzhyam did it in a bath. Do you know Tim Fitzhyam?
I do, yeah.
I think he was the first person. I mean, I say first, I'm pretty certain nobody else has done it, but I think he was the first person to cross the English Channel in a bathtub.
Is it really?
He got some kind of record for it. He tried it once, and I think he got turned back because the French Navy nearly shot him.
Right.
And then he tried it again, but this time he had he'd trained to become a naval captain, so this time they let him through. Something like that.
Oh, that's insane.
He tells it better than that.
Yeah.
I forget the details.
That
sounds impressive stuff. I'll
have to get him on the podcast, actually.
Oh, he's a great, yeah.
That'd
he's
be
a great
chat.
Storyteller.
Lovely
guy. Makes
gone.
Me realise. So, I mean, when you put that much effort into having anecdotes, you're always going to win.
Yeah.
I'm always very aware of how dull my anecdotes are compared to him, but he's got some great stuff.
Have you got
but
any...
He doesn't work very hard at it.
Yeah. He's a hard worker. He's doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Oh dear, sorry, I've just recently eaten a breakaway Caramac. And
oh, what's that?
Do you know what a breakaway is? Like the biscuit?
No, but I know what a Caramac is. Oh, so presumably a Caramac is.
It's a hybrid of the two. A breakaway is like a chocolate covered biscuit. Like a,
right.
Sort of the.
So this is the same but covered in Caramac.
Exactly that. Yeah.
Like a gold bar.
Like a gold bar, but different.
I've just eaten a gold bar.
Have you really?
So this is a bit weird.
Because
actually. This is one of those wacky moments.
From B&M Bargains, I always buy 18 packs of gold bars, and I
18 packs.
18, like packs of 18 gold bars.
Oh,
not,
I see.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
That'd be excessive. So I just opened my fridge and there were about 16 gold bars remaining and nice. Caramac breakaway and had the breakaway. Sorry, it's stuck in my throat.
No worries. That's the risk you take when you have one of them.
It is, absolutely.
It's a crumbly thing.
Just before I did a gig once, I ate a Nature Valley bar. The crumbliest of bars, and it was the Gong Show up the creek, and
did you go through?
Well, no, because I was doing very very well.
Nature Valley,
and then
bar.
A bit of Nature Valley bars shot up into my throat, and I just choked on stage.
I'd have found that funny.
Yeah,
I don't know who else was on, but if I'd been in that audience, I think you would have been up there with my favourites.
Because
it's nice to see something spontaneous happen, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I just called it improvisation. They weren't buying it, but...
They just went, no, you're just coughing.
Yeah. What
just
do they know?
Coughing for a long time.
I trained at Goliath. I didn't.
Yeah, he'd be able to get an hour out of that, presumably.
At,
I don't know.
At least.
I've met him.
No. So, what's your situation at the minute? Like, where are you living?
Life-wise, I'm in southwest London, in my house. So I haven't had to move anywhere or anything because of COVID, which I'm very grateful for. I'm not doing a huge amount, but I've just got a bike, so I'm starting to do things again.
A bicycle or a motorbike?
A bicycle. Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't trust myself with a motorbike, even if I had ever been on one and had a license and was allowed, I still wouldn't trust myself with them because I know how clumsy I am.
Yeah.
Normal bicycle, push bike, and I've been getting gradually more confident at cycling it around. Nearly got hit by a bus the other day.
Yeah.
But I think that's just part of the territory, isn't it?
In London, it certainly is, yeah. There's a friend of mine...
It's one of those trade-offs.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a friend of mine who he lives in North London and... rides his bike to central London every day, and he said something about getting hit by a car the other day, and I was like, oh my god, are you okay? And he was like, oh yeah, it happens like 5 times a week.
Yeah, it's a shame. I've sort of started cycling just as, I mean, it now seems like people are just using public transport again. Everyone's just gone, now I'll just go back to doing whatever. So possibly if I'd held my nerve a little bit longer, I wouldn't have even needed to, but it's nicer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you don't need to be near people. So that's big advantage,
which
I
helps.
Find. Yeah.
So I've been doing that. What else? That's mostly it. That's my life now. Trying to get better at cooking.
Oh, okay.
Trying to get better at gardening.
Yeah.
I thought those will do.
I've been doing both of those things.
What have you been cooking?
Oh, nothing fancy.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Rice.
Yeah. Well, if you can master the basics.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're laughing.
Yeah, and I've got a... tiny bit of garden attached to the front of my house, and I quite like working on that. So yeah.
What have you been doing in it? What sort of stuff?
Planting plants.
Great. Yeah.
Standard. Yeah.
Classic.
How about you?
I've got a butternut squash called Captain Peanut.
Okay.
That's doing very well. I've got three sunflowers called Sunflower One, Sunflower John, and Red Hot Reckless Rod, and they're doing very well.
That's not where I saw that list going.
Yeah. Again, it's hard to stay entertained at the moment. So you gotta find new ways of making yourself smile. And I've got a maple tree that's doing very well.
Ooh.
Not a little baby one.
Yeah.
It was 2 feet when I got it, and now it's about 4 feet.
Oh, that's very good.
And it turns out it's a shame realizing this so late in life. I say late in life. I don't mean I'm old and have no hope for the rest of my life. But it's a shame to only just come to the realization that actually, like, sitting around and just watching things very, very slowly grow is kind of enough.
Yeah.
I spent however many years sort of standing on stage and going, look at me. And then one day you sit in a garden and plant a squash and then go, this is fine. Quite like this. I should have been doing this.
Yeah, it's quite relaxing.
All along. Yeah, it's lovely. It's really lovely. So that's me. That's my life now. Very dull. Very, very dull. But I like it.
It sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. Keeps me happy.
The thing is, you say you've come to it late in life, which you haven't. I feel like you're younger than me.
I'm 31.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not
yeah.
late in life. But well, it's a late stage for me to retrain as a gardener. Certainly. Well, I could.
Is it though? I mean, Maggie Smith never had her first acting role until she was in her 40s, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
So
I could spend 10 years gardening.
Yeah, and absolutely. And then
still
Alan Titchmarsh.
Playing Professor McGonagall.
Yeah, exactly. That's the dream.
I'll
isn't
do
it?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Oh, my fiance, who can hear us talking, has texted me to say Sandgate. That's where we went to in Kent.
Ah, right.
It's a lovely
place. No Oast House is near Sandgate, I'm assuming.
I don't know. Maybe. I wasn't looking out for him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess, yeah, when you're there again, you'll know.
Oh, yeah,
you'll see
absolutely.
It, you'll go, that's the thing. That's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
They're good fun.
Yeah. They sound like the best. Have you spent a lot of time in Oast Houses?
No, I drove past one once. That's it. That's the extent of my experience of them. But it really made an impression on me.
Yeah, it seems that way, yeah.
Become an advocate. Real advocate for them.
Yeah.
I think we should have them everywhere, not just Kent.
Yeah, I might build one in my garden.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I've got a small flower bed, but there's a lot of grass, so I'll build an
right.
oast house.
Yeah,
there.
Well, that's a nice spot for a small oast house, I imagine.
Yeah, good. I'll do that.
Great.
Who are you living with?
I live with, well, technically three people, but currently only two most of the time. I live with a friend of mine who I've lived with for about 5 years, but we moved to this house last year.
Oh, okay.
And then there's two people that were already living in this house, so they're the kind of the residents here. But one of them is in Portsmouth with her family because she has a heart condition, so she's got a shelter for the time being and be careful. So she popped back. She's popped back the other week. But mostly it's just the three of us here. One of them works for a charity and one of them does statistical analysis.
Ooh.
So two non-comedians, which is quite nice, really.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me not to get too obsessed with trying to be funny all the time. Which
yeah.
is just as well, because I'm frequently not. But it's nice when you don't live with comedians. They don't expect too much of you. They
no.
just go, yeah, fine, you're being boring today.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. I live with my fiance, and she doesn't find me funny at all. So
It's very good for your ego, I think.
There's very little pressure on me to be funny.
Yeah, to be surrounded by people who can just undercut you and go, nope.
Yeah,
yeah. That was terrible. That was terrible. This is really bad. I think it keeps you quite balanced out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Otherwise, you just start believing that you were good, and there's nobody likes those.
No,
people.
Absolutely.
There's nothing funny about people who genuinely think they're good. I've
no.
got no time for them.
I've met some of those, and they are unbearable.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay to see them. So
no. I mean, I have done, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, I have done. They're my good friends, but
yeah, they're all great. What should I do with this tea, by the way?
Oh,
should I start? Should I start drinking?
Go ahead, drink it. Yeah, sorry, it's been a little while, hasn't it? So
I didn't want to have a sip until we were going. Just
yeah,
because you know, you never know what your initial reaction to an unusual tea is going to be, and I'd hate to deprive the listeners of a big moment.
Well, I will say that one. So is that the Focus?
This is the Glow. It says Twinings
Glow. It's Glow, yeah.
And
that's one of my favourite ones.
I think it's green tea with strawberry and cucumber. I should have saved the packet so that I could actually read exactly what it is, but I'm gonna give it a try. Here we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I've left it a bit long. It's a bit cold. But,
yeah, that's my fault.
It's spicier than I thought it would be.
Oh, okay.
It's fruity. It's got a fruitiness to it. But there's a little kick at the back of the throat there. It's like it's got ginger in it. Maybe it has. Again, I didn't look at the packet.
It's got some kind of root vegetable in it.
That'll be it. That'll be the root vegetable. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, I like that.
Can't remember what it is.
So having said, I don't want to deprive the listeners of a big moment where I react authentically to this tea. It turns out my authentic reaction is, yeah, that's fine. That's quite nice, yeah.
Yeah, you should try it hot. I'm sorry. That is actually completely my fault. And for the listeners,
no, it's sort of it's warm, is what it is. It's not. It's right. Not, it's yeah. It's somewhere in the middle. It's not going to burn my mouth. I like not, it.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Well, I've had it on here before, so people can go back and listen and find out which ones I've tried
right.
it on.
Right.
But yeah, I really like that one.
Yeah, it's that pretty good.
Because I don't like cucumber. I hate it.
I hate cucumber. I really can't eat cucumber. Although I've recently found out that might be the seeds. Have you ever tried seeding a cucumber and then eating it?
No.
What did I try this for? Some kind of Greek chicken wrap thing recently had cucumbers in it. And my housemate said, if you don't like the cucumber, take the seeds out and then try it without the seeds. Scooped them out, ate it. Still hated it, but like less than usual, much less than usual. Yeah. So there's something about the seeds, I think.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. I'll look into it.
A tip worth a try.
Yeah. I'm acutely aware of cucumber. It's like a really terrible superpower.
Apparently it's a genetic thing, I've heard.
Is it really?
To most people, cucumber doesn't have a taste, which is why people who like cucumber don't understand why people don't like cucumber, because they say it doesn't taste of anything, it's just like water. But apparently I feel like I got this off QI, and I know people get stuff off QI a lot, and I can't remember whether there was some kind of revelation that sometimes QI is actually wrong about stuff, or whether they are still the kind of the arbiters of interesting facts. But I think I heard that there's a human gene that you can get in your mouth, and if you have it, then it means you can taste cucumber and it's disgusting.
Oh, so we're more advanced in
either more advanced or less advanced. I don't know
we're further
evolved
along
to cope with this vegetable, or whether they evolved and suddenly didn't like the vegetable. Yeah, we're either the next stage or the previous one. Are you left-handed?
I'm not.
Okay, so it's not linked to that.
No, but my fiance is. So
does she like cucumber?
I think so.
Okay.
Hang on. Oh. Do you like cucumber? No, she doesn't like cucumber.
Okay, so we're starting to build a pattern.
Yeah.
And correlation is not causation, but 2 out of 3 people now don't like cucumber and are left-handed. And 3 out of 3 don't like cucumber.
Yeah.
We're onto something.
We are, yeah, absolutely. We need to form some kind of alliance, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be up for it. I mean, give me something to do, if nothing else. Keep me busy.
Yeah.
Nice to have a theory to develop.
Design a logo. That'll be.
What do you reckon it would be? A left hand grasping a cucumber. Could look bad, depending on whether or not it's in colour.
It'll be a right hand grasping a cucumber and a left hand snapping said cucumber.
Yes. Yeah. Two cucumbers, or one cucumber being held by a right hand at one end and then being snapped by a left hand at the other? Or would there just be 2 cucumbers?
I don't know.
Two cucumbers, it's starting to get a bit busy for a logo. It's sort of turning into a picture then.
Yes, so I think, but that could also look like a sort of crossed sword, like you'd get on a...
Yeah, maybe it should be more like a crest.
Yes, crest, that's the word I was looking for, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
what would
similar
the
to the crest
do?
Behind you.
Just kind of advocate for the rights of people who don't like cucumber and are left-handed.
I think we'd just get everyone together who doesn't like cucumber.
Okay, and so it would be more a social group than a sort of an activism thing.
Well, I was going to suggest we overthrow the government.
Oh, okay, yeah. For reasons connected to the group, or just... As a separate thing, we'd say we all happen to dislike cucumber, but also we're a bit sick of this government, so let's pool our resources.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
And they
but
won't
just
be able
to be clear,
stop us.
We wouldn't be overthrowing them because of a cucumber-related government matter.
No, that would be frivolous.
Yeah, I also don't know where this government stands on cucumber. I don't think they've made their feelings clear.
They haven't. No, I'm not aware. I'm sure they love it.
Yeah, probably. Everybody does. Everybody makes sense. Sick of it. Sick of the stuff.
Yeah.
But, oh, the whole point of that was, can't taste it in this.
No.
Just tastes like strawberry.
Exactly. Yeah, that was why I was bringing it up.
Yeah, yes. It's now very nice. Now I remember. I've got some other ones here, though, because you sent me a batch. Where are the other ones?
Yeah.
Ah, here we go. I've got honeybush and rooibos.
Yeah.
I've had a rooibos before, but I've never had honeybush. And yeah, this is quite exciting. This is green tea, mandarin and apple with guarana.
Oh, that one's very nice. Yeah.
What is guarana? Is it a nut?
Powerful question. I don't know.
There's a picture on the front of what looks like a mandarin. So that would be the mandarin.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
an apple. That'll be the apple.
Yeah.
And then a nut. So my powers of deduction would suggest that it's a nut.
It's not a nut.
Is it not?
It looks like a berry.
Powers of deduction have failed me again. Really?
Yeah. Can you see?
Wow. Oh, yeah, that's a berry. Yeah. I was going off, I don't know if you can see that there.
Yeah, it does look like
it
a
looks
nut.
Quite nutty in that
it
picture.
It does.
Oh, well, I failed again.
They've just got the colours slightly off on that picture, yeah, it looks like, because they're red on there, but they look exactly the same.
Well, that'll be a nice one.
Yeah,
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, that is very nice.
What's been your favourite tea that you've had over the course of doing this podcast?
I think genuinely the glow that you're having.
Really, this is your favourite one?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow,
it's up there.
I feel quite honoured to have been given the chance to try it.
I've also liked there's a jasmine pearl from Tea Pigs. That's very nice.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd never had those before, and they only sent me two of those, so I've not had any since either. I can't find it in the shops.
What, Teapigs? Teapigs Jasmine?
Yeah.
I never shop enough for interesting teas. I don't really... If I'm having a tea, I'll have a mint tea.
Yeah.
And that's sort of it. I very rarely go outside of my comfort zone.
Oh, well...
I should try it more. Some of this is good.
Did I also send you that one from the Clean Tea Company?
Yes, you sent me this Moroccan mint.
Yeah.
Gunpowder green.
Yeah, that one didn't come in its own packet. That, if you like mint tea, that is one of the best mint teas that I've had.
I went on holiday to Morocco last year, and over there, obviously mint tea is one of their big things, and you just get it constantly wherever you go.
Yeah.
And it's very good, but they have it very, very sweet.
Oh, okay.
They put a huge amount of sugar in it. But I think they just add that. Presumably that's not inherent in the tea.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that
sugar cubes in.
That one's very nice. It's got, you know, sort of how, you know, mint tea often has that. It feels like it's cutting through your sinuses, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's got that, but it's a little bit more subtle.
Nice.
Yeah,
that
it's very nice.
Good. I'll try that next, maybe.
Yeah.
I've just remembered that I went to school with the heir of the Twinings. Not heir. I say heir as though there was like an empire, the son of Mr. Twining.
Really?
Who ran Twining's Tea. And I don't know what happened to him. I have no idea whether he's now running Twining's. I don't think he is. I think he was sort of trying quite hard to build his own sort of legacy and life for himself.
Oh.
And it never seemed like he was the sort of entitled son of a tea magnate and he was just going to go into the family tea business. I think he was creating his own life for himself.
And he started Tea Pigs.
Maybe he went off and built a rival.
Yeah.
No idea. He was a nice guy. I liked him a lot. He was in the Amdram Youth Theatre Group.
Oh, okay.
And I think he played Richard III.
Ah.
Not in Richard III.
Right.
But
oh, that was going to be
a play that our teacher wrote about local ghosts.
Oh, okay.
And Twining Junior. I won't say his name just in case, you know, he might be trying to live anonymously. I've no idea. He might be trying to get away from the Twinings thing.
Yeah.
But Twining Junior played the ghost of Richard III, and I played the ghost of a local priest who murdered his wife.
Oh, good grief. That's
dreadful.
That's a child's dreadful play.
Yeah, well, we were about like 13, 14, so
right.
I guess they were trying to kind of introduce more adult themes into the Amdram we were doing as kids.
Yeah.
It was like a spooky Halloween ghost show.
Oh, okay.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
Yeah. That's
fun,
that's dark.
Didn't we have fun?
Oh yeah, sounds like fun. I was in when I was that age. I was in Bugsy Malone.
Really? Who did you play?
I was Clarence, the ventriloquist dummy.
Oh, I don't remember him.
No, it's not a regular part. I think right. It's. I don't know if my teacher wrote it in or. it was fun though.
I've never seen it until quite recently. It's a great film.
Yeah, it's good fun. Yeah,
Scott Baio.
Yeah. There's quite a few. There's Reg from The Bill was in it.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I think it's Reg. I don't know. There's a few people in it. If you go and check it out now, and see the cast list, you'll be like, oh, I've seen them in other things.
It's Baio and Foster.
But yeah.
I bet if I'd worked harder, I'd have found others.
Yeah.
I think the ending is confusing because up till the ending, it's the internal logic of the film has been that if you get pied in the face, you die. That's like a death sentence. And then at the end, there's a huge pie fight. Everyone gets hit with pie. And suddenly it becomes quite transparent about like they're just being hit in the face with pies. No one dies. Everyone's friends again.
Yeah.
I just think that it's been quite good on its inner logic for most of the film. And then it all comes crashing down. I think it's a bit of a shame.
It doesn't. Yeah, you're right. I think it perhaps just suggests that there's a lot of melodrama in the pie world.
Yeah. I guess you're not supposed to take it too seriously, but I did.
Well, you should. It's a very serious film, I think.
If they get you to invest up till that point, don't throw it all away in the last 5 minutes. Absolutely. Tell a proper story.
Do you know, I'd never considered that up until you've just said it. And you've.
I think ideally, all it needs for it to work is it can be exactly the same film, but at the end they all die.
Yeah.
So it would be a bleaker film. Or at least
injured, because some of them, they've not got pied in the face. They've just, you know.
That's true. A lot of them get pied on the body or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's suddenly just all a lot of fun.
Yeah. Like,
what happened to all the peril? There was so much peril earlier. When, what's his name? Fat Sam's the fat one.
Yeah.
And then the bad guy's, who's the bad guy? Danny Dan. His henchman, I think. When he dies from an exploding pie machine or whatever,
it's a big Tommy moment, gun.
And we're supposed to be really like struck by it and really kind of wow, anyone can die in this film, nobody's safe, and then suddenly everyone's safe, it's fine.
Yeah, you imagine that the now dead character should come back to life.
Maybe they do.
Or
I wasn't watching too. Maybe they all pop up at the end and go, "We're fine. It was just a pie."
Maybe it's actually similar to The Shining. And it turns out that everyone's dead.
Yeah, and they've been doing this on a loop forever.
Yeah.
And this is there. This is eternity now.
Yeah, yeah. That was just
way to spend eternity than The Shining. I think if I had to choose one of those two experiences to relive forever, it would be Bugsy Malone.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. However, what I do want now is for you to remake that end scene. Of Bugsy Malone, and just everyone dies, and there's just like one guy left at the end going, oh shit.
Suddenly there's blood everywhere. It becomes very real.
Yeah.
Very sad. I did wonder, having watched it, why is that the only film that they tried that with? It's such a good idea to do, oh, we'll take all the tropes of a gangster movie, but it's all kids.
Yeah.
I wonder why that didn't become a franchise thing of
it's a
sci-fi space opera, but everyone's a kid, or it's a Western, but everyone's a kid.
Oh, Western would be great.
I guess it's because working with kids is a nightmare, so it would be
kids are awful. Difficult. Yeah.
But there's a franchise in there.
Absolutely. What would you, so like space drama?
Yeah. Western. You could do a sort of a Star Wars, kids in Star Wars.
Oh, that'd be, I'd love to see that.
Star Wars is already quite young. Well, they're not kids, are they?
Anakin was a kid.
Yes, yeah, and he was terrible, actually.
He was terrible, yeah.
So maybe the evidence suggests we shouldn't do this because a lot of child actors are bad. Well, actually, the actors in Bugsy Malone are bad, but you don't notice because they're all as bad as each other, and you're just watching cute kids. I think Anakin is only bad because he's next to Liam Neeson, and you go, well, that kid is not as good as Liam Neeson. But if Liam Neeson was played by a kid as well, then it would just be adorable.
Yeah.
They should do it.
I mean, I think that's a mistake that a lot of them made is that
child actors next adults.
Yeah. You either want to get a bad adult or a better child.
Yeah. And I also think the adults should go easy.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's probably very intimidating as a kid. I've been rewatching all the Harry Potters, and I started doing that before J.K.
Yes,
Rowling emerged as a bigot.
I did that too. We finished about 3 days before.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm on the penultimate one, and it means the last three or four have been less fun because you're more aware of the mind that made them. But
yeah.
Anyway, been rewatching those, and I think the adults create a really nice space for the kids. The
yeah.
kids don't seem too intimidated. They don't seem, you know, they're pretty good, the kids. They're not as good as the adults, but
no.
they get to hold their own.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could certainly see the development in them through the films as well, which obviously
yeah.
they're getting
yeah,
older,
yeah.
so they're reaching adulthood and goodness. But
although I just watched the penultimate one, which is mostly the three of them wandering around on their own.
Yeah.
And you do miss them. You miss the adults a lot.
Yeah.
Because they need someone to bounce off.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good yeah.
Good luck to them, I say.
Yeah, good luck to
them
in the future.
All doing very well. They don't need my good wishes.
No.
What's happened to Rupert Grint?
Well, he did a series, didn't he?
He was in a Poirot.
Was he?
A couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it was last year. It may have been the year before. He was in a series where I can't remember what it was. Did he go back in time?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
There was something in it. The cast was massive. Like, it was...
Wow. Oh, well, good on him.
You know
I was worried he'd kind of dropped off the radar.
Oh, no, he's...
I wasn't worried about it.
He's smashing it.
Right. Oh, good.
Yeah, Rupert.
He's very talented. He's the best one.
Yeah, do you think so?
Sure. Yeah, I think so. Not solidly. He starts out as the best one, and then... The other two start getting better, and he gets sort of lost in the middle for a little bit. But then by the end, I think he's become the best one again.
Yeah, yeah. I've forgotten his name. Who's the
Daniel Radcliffe?
No, the
Alan Rickman.
The loser,
Neville Longbottom.
Yeah, he's the best one. He's my favorite.
As an actor?
By the no.
He's the most attractive, certainly.
Well, now
by the end.
Yeah,
by the end, not when it's a little kid. But the grown-up Neville Longbottom,
none of
us saw that coming.
No, he really didn't. Came out of nowhere. There was a thing between him and, I've forgotten the name of the guy that plays Draco. But
Tom Felton.
Yes, there was a thing that I read the other day about them where Tom Felton put up a picture of Draco and then said something like, age hasn't been kind to me. That's what it was.
Right. Was
and,
it like the 10-year challenge thing?
Something like that. And then... Neville Longbottom came along and said, "Speak for yourself." Yeah, fair play. He's done
yeah,
well.
Yeah, their fortunes have really reversed. That was weird, the 10-year challenge, because there was no real challenge element to it.
No.
Just be alive for 10 years.
Yeah, which for some people is challenging.
You're right.
Yeah. Rupert Grint was in Sick Note, which
yes, I did hear about that. I didn't realise that was him.
Yeah, it's Nick Frost and...
Wow.
Daniel Rigby there. Lindsay Lohan.
Whoa.
Yeah, some
good
big
on
names.
Him.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Done well. Lolly had a FOP.
Oh, yeah.
He was also, apparently, in the TV series of Snatch.
Oh,
yeah.
Didn't know there was one.
Didn't know there was one either. That's really weird.
Never seen Snatch.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, I love it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah, it's obviously it's quite violent, but yeah. No,
I saw The Gentlemen this year. Have you seen The Gentlemen?
I haven't.
The latest.
What's that?
What's his name?
Guy Ritchie. Yeah.
Yeah, latest one of him. Hugh Grant is having a lot of fun in it.
Okay.
It's dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful. And
yeah.
Hugh Grant. It's nice to see Hugh Grant having a lot of fun, but he is being racist in it.
Right.
He says he has quite a few quite racist lines, and I like Hugh Grant probably more than the next man. But when you see him making bad choices, my heart sinks a little bit.
Yeah. It's a strange...
He can do better than that. He doesn't need it.
No, he doesn't need it. But then maybe that's... No.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it's fun to do something something rubbish.
Well, there's a lot of sort of great actors of yesteryear who've spent all their lives playing sort of good people. They've turned to taking on villains and they love it.
Yeah, yeah. They get to cut loose a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Surprise people. He's good in it. He's very good in it.
Yeah, just racist.
Weird seeing him do that.
Yes, I imagine it would be. Yeah, I've not heard of that. I'll look into it.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a terrible way to spend 2 hours, but
well,
maybe maybe entertaining in a bad way.
Yeah, you say that. I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood the other day.
Oh, is it not good? I thought that was supposed to be good.
Well, I saw a lot of people saying it was good. And basically, it's 2.5 hours long. And nothing happens for 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Right.
And then there's 5 minutes of factually inaccurate violence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I won't rush to that.
No, I wouldn't. It's, and then I did a status about it, and it accrued something like 80-odd comments.
Really?
And about three of which were, oh, no, it's great. No. Everyone going, yeah, that was crap, actually. And everyone else, there were about three people saying, no, it's good. No, it wasn't.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah, some people saying the violence at the end is worth it, but I disagree. Are you familiar with the Manson family?
Yeah. I have complicated... Well, no, not comp. Don't. I was about to launch on a sentence. Where's that this? Would have been. I was going to say I have complicated feelings about the about Charles Manson. I don't. He's absolutely despicable human being. But there is a song on YouTube of Charles Manson's, and it's really nice. It's a really good song.
Yeah, well, that is. They sing it. I'm pretty sure I know which song. Yeah, that's how you know who it is, because the family walk along down the road. Charles Manson never actually features as a character, but the family are walking down the street and they're singing it, and that's how I knew who they were, like sort of straight away, because they don't make it completely obvious until quite far in, I don't think, but I knew from the song. I was like, oh, okay, cool,
right? I think it's a shame. He was talented. It's such a waste of what could have been a good talent.
Yeah.
But sadly, he was a mad idiot.
Hell of a leader.
Had to ruin it.
Terrible person. Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's got weird, isn't it?
Yeah, feel bad for having gone down that route.
Right, now, we've not got much time left because you've got...
Yeah, I'll have to head off in a minute.
You've got to chip off. But the main reason that you wanted to have a chat is your advertising, what you've been working on.
Yeah, I've been working on a thing. So if anybody wants to book some tickets for a thing I've been working on, then you'd be very welcome. I've made an Edinburgh show at the end of last year, start of this year, which was going to be for the Fringe 2020, which obviously now isn't happening.
Yeah.
And it sort of left me thinking, I did a lot of work on something that would have been that. And now I don't want to wait until 2021 because I'll be a different person then and this show won't be relevant anymore. But I also don't want to put all this stuff in the bin. So I've rewritten it as a film that I've been making around my house. So it's a kind of a mixture of monologue stuff to camera with sort of sketches and characters and other little bits, and trying to really kind of adapt it into something that works on screen rather than something that tries to shift to work on screen but doesn't quite fit naturally. I've tried to kind of really adapt it so that it feels like a different thing, basically. And we're screening that every day in the week of the 20th of July. So in a couple of weeks, we're screening that online. And then afterwards, there's Q&As with various guests talking about different subjects and about how we can go about making stuff while this is ongoing. Because obviously none of us know when we can perform live again or when any kind of scripted work starts up again. We're not really sure. So I'm talking to a bunch of really great people about that, like Ben Tarje, Lucy Pearman, John Kearns, people like that.
Oh, cool.
And if people would like to come along and watch the film and then hear what some of those people have to say about their creative work at the moment, then they can find tickets on my website and you'd be very welcome. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, sounds great. Brilliant.
Should be fun.
I shouldn't think I'm busy.
That's the thing now. It's a useful time to be promoting things because there's no excuses.
So absolutely,
which doesn't mean people have to watch it, but it at least puts me in the position of knowing if somebody doesn't watch it, it's because they really didn't want to, which is completely fair enough. But it's nice to know there's none of that usual Edinburgh Fringe stuff of like, oh, that clashes with XYZ.
Yeah.
So these days, everyone can be much more honest and just say, nope, don't want to.
It's not for me.
Absolutely no interest in that. And then I'll go, great, fair enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely fair enough.
I like the honesty.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this whole period of time is a great leveler for that. It means we can all stop pretending from now on. And we can just actually tell one another what we do and don't want to do.
Yeah, it's quite good, isn't it?
Lockdown taught me what I like, and now I only do the things I like.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to, then everyone is very welcome to book a ticket. But if not, fair enough. I'm not going to force anyone. That'd be mad. Be an absolutely mad thing to do.
And that's through Objectively Funny.
Yeah, Objectively Funny are producing it, so they've been helping me set it up on... there's a thing called Citizen Ticket, which I didn't really know about before, but they're a great kind of ticket hosting platform, and they're also going to host the film and do the streaming and that kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
So they're helping me produce it through that. And they've been great. They've been really, really helpful. We're sort of... It's nice to try and do something that recreates some element of the Fringe, because obviously...
Yeah.
It's such a shame it's not happening, and it's such a big part of a lot of comedians' lives because it's the thing that we kind of structure the rest of our years around. And to a certain extent, being forced to have a break from it is lovely. But I thought it's nice to try and find some way of recreating a tiny little pocket of it and say, well, I came up with this, and now I'd like to try and share it with as many people as I can. The sad thing is I didn't realise that I would still have all the kind of the burdens of stress that come with the Fringe. As soon as it was cancelled, yeah. I thought, oh, great, I lose out on all that stress. But now, having decided to stream a film online, it means all that's back. I'm now right back to going, oh, God, how do I get anybody to care?
Yeah.
So I've inflicted that upon myself this year. I can't even blame the Fringe as an entity. I've just done that. But
maybe
you choose, I guess.
Maybe you missed it.
I guess so, yeah, probably. Probably yeah. I just needed it somewhere. So I've done it to myself. But yeah, if people would like to come along, then they'd be very welcome. There's information on my Twitter at Jos Norris or anywhere else that you'd like to find me. I'm in a couple of places these days.
Cool. Is it just Twitter?
Twitter, there's some stuff on Instagram. I'm on Instagram as well. And
is
they can
also
can,
at Jos Norris?
Also at Jos Norris, I think. Or if you type Jos Norris in, it'll come up with something. And Facebook as well, there's stuff on there.
I'll do the pertinent research.
Oh, that'd be lovely. I can send you links if you'd like them.
Oh, that'd be great.
But yeah, all those places where you tend to find it. Not TikTok. I've not done TikTok yet.
No.
Not out of principle, but just because there's already a lot of stuff going on.
There's
on
a
the
lot
internet,
of content.
And none of it feels very real or good or nice.
Yeah.
So to be honest, the fact that I even have to be in three places feels a bit much. So I'm not on TikTok.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Apologies to anyone who's really disappointed in me for that. I just haven't got my head around it.
It's not the platform for me, I don't think.
Really?
That's why I'm not on there.
I have a friend of mine is obsessed with it and occasionally sends me supercuts of her favourite TikToks. And maybe one in eight I find quite funny.
Yeah.
And I think that's not a good enough strike rate for me.
It's not a great hit rate, no.
One in eight of the highlights suggests to me that it's not something I'm going to love.
No.
So if anybody types me in there, that's why I don't show up.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Or your biggest fear, maybe you do.
Yeah.
And you don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe someone else is already presenting their views as mine on TikTok.
Oh, God.
Good luck to them if they are.
Yeah.
Bad thing to do.
I wanted to ask about Judge Rinder.
Oh, yes.
You did
that.
That
was fun.
Was that a genuine... Because obviously many of those are sort of dramatised, but...
It was a genuine episode of Judge Rinder that was filmed and cleared with the producers. We took this case to the producers, presented evidence and all that kind of thing. The senior producer was sort of involved in helping it to be as fun as possible.
Right.
He was quite upfront about, like, this is going to be a silly episode. It's going to be one of our funny ones. So try to make it as entertaining as you can. So I won't go into the details, but there are liberties with the truth in that episode. But once we'd cleared it with that senior producer, everybody else working on the show was under the impression that it was completely exactly as we said.
Amazing.
Which means just we were genuinely treated as if we were suspects in a court hearing.
Amazing.
Very funny. One of my favourite things I've done. I enjoyed
is
that
it really?
A lot. Just mad. Just absolutely mad getting to grips with that type of show. And also the other thing, I think we went in thinking we're comedians, so we'll be able to have a lot of fun with Rinder. We'll be able to wind him up and be silly. It turns out he's brilliant. He's very funny and very sharp and much cleverer than either of us were. And I have no idea whether he knew that we were slightly messing around or whether he just genuinely thought we were two idiots.
Yeah.
But essentially anything that we tried to set up and like go, right, we'll have a bit of fun with him here, he was always one step ahead of us and just was absolutely brilliant. He's a very funny guy.
Cool. Is he a nice bloke? Did you meet him otherwise?
Oh, no, we met him. He came into the courtroom and did our case. And then as soon as he'd shut it down, he left. And then we never saw him again. Really? So we had no actual social interaction with him. But he was very good.
Oh, that's funny.
I think he tweaked us quite quickly as two idiots.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
went, right, I will rip these guys apart and then I will get out of here. was great. It's a lot of fun.
That's brilliant. Nice. I realised the other day, because I think we've only met socially sort of a handful of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've done like a couple of gigs together. But I remembered, cause my first ever gig was at the Freedom Fridge.
Yeah, lovely gig. And, used to love that gig.
And Beck Hill was the MC.
Right.
Which is great. And like the lineup on that was like Yuriko Kitani. And
yeah.
Who else? I can't remember now, but yeah.
Was that back when Man by Cow was still doing it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, they were great. Well, they still are. They do their podcast stuff now.
I'm a
big fan of those guys. Yeah, they do this wonderful podcast.
Yeah.
Where they, it's, well, I've not listened to it for a bit, sadly. But it was a kind of a sitcom sketch podcast. And now I think it's turned into them writing bad scripts for each other and then making fun of them.
Oh, nice. That sounds like fun.
They're great, those two.
Yeah. But the week before I did that gig, all those, what is it, 6.5 years ago, I decided to pop down, and considering I live in Southend, like it's a bit of a journey to pop down, but
yeah, yeah.
Regardless, I just wanted to go and see what the venue was like and sort of get a feel for the room. And you were emceeing.
Sorry about that. I remember how I used to emcee that gig.
Yeah, you told I can't remember what it was, but you used my friend to tell the story of Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Oh, yes. That went on till like Gone 11.
Yeah.
Gig. Yeah. Yeah. That was, so Rufus and Howard ran that gig and then decided that they quite liked me being silly and went, oh, you can MC if you want. And I think I was quite new and misunderstood the principles of how emceeing should work in terms of, you know, move things along and make sure everyone's having a nice time. I kind of took it to mean, great, I can be as indulgent as I like.
Yeah.
Because it's my show. I get to run the whole show. So I could do, and yeah, just went on for ages.
Yeah.
Absolute just nonsense.
It's ridiculous.
And really, I don't think people were enjoying it at all.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Thank you very much. But just incredibly self-indulgent approach to emceeing.
Yeah.
There was one where I built a replica of myself out of balloons and then brought it on to MC instead for a while and then hid in a separate room. I just really tried to kind of create a narrative in my MCing segments, which is not what you're supposed to do. Like, I had a lot of fun, but I think maybe a couple of people thought it was fun as well. But God, it was a terrible, terrible way to run a gig. So sorry that you came all the way down to Southend and had to stay there till 11. That was selfish of me.
I was driving. It's okay.
Oh, but, right. So you're fine.
Get back easily. Yeah.
God, stupid. Oh, well.
Absolute
you learn.
Nonsense. Yeah.
You learn and you get better.
I mean, do you remember gigs?
Yeah, yeah. They were all right.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to do them again. I feel like I've settled into such a kind of cozy, predictable existence now.
Yeah.
The idea of gigs coming back anytime soon, I sort of go, oh, but that means I won't know where I'm going to be on any given night. I could be anywhere in London.
Yeah, I do.
I need to be home and in bed by 10.
Yeah, I do quite like going to bed at a sort of semi-regular
really
time.
Nice.
And,
so I do miss elements of it a lot, obviously. But there are other parts of me that are like, I'd just like this to carry on for a tiny bit longer.
Yeah.
Just until I've really cleared out whatever I need to clear out in my head.
Second
and
wave.
And then I'll go back to it. Yeah, yeah, it'll be here before we know it anyway.
Yeah.
God. Well.
Yeah, I didn't think I was missing it sort of too much. I got to a point where a little while ago I was like sort of really pining for it. And then recently I thought like, oh, I don't mind too much. And then on the other day when everyone was posting the Save the Arts pictures.
Yeah, that was sad.
I posted a picture of myself and then someone liked it. And I went back and looked at the picture and then thought, oh, I miss doing that.
yeah. It suddenly dawns on you how long it's been since you've had any of that kind of experience. And also just seeing other people. It's not necessarily about standing on stage and performing and getting the like validation of applause or whatever. It's also just like that was how you discovered new ideas, is like or how you'd be made to think about interesting things, is you would watch somebody doing a set and it would have a really fascinating thought in it, and it helped you, you know.
Inspiration.
Just there was more kind of input into your brain because you'd be seeing interesting things all the time. And these days, so hard to find that and to recreate that. And that's sort of what I miss more than performing myself, really, is just like having that stuff go in.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. I've been writing loads of stuff. I've written a couple of scripts, and I wrote a sitcom which I think is actually going to work at the Fringe as a play.
Great.
So cool. That's going to be fun, like a comedy play. Yeah. And I've written a sitcom which is a sitcom, and I've written a couple of episodes of that. It's going well.
Nice.
But yeah, the material that I've written. Like I've written it sort of just, it's just however my brain's working in a minute and gone, but like that's cool, that's working. And I've got the basis of it down. But it's like you say, sort of when you see other people performing things, like kind of you might see someone approach a different subject, but in such a particular way that you think, oh, that's how I should approach that thing and sort of turn that around.
And you're always a mixture of like all the ideas you see mixed with your own experiences and your own ideas and all that kind of thing. You know, you see other ways of doing stuff and it makes you reassess your own thoughts in a different way.
Yeah.
And it all helps to make what you do better.
Yeah.
And at the moment it's quite hard to get that because we're all so stuck in our own heads. It's harder to get outside and get that kind of that collaborative thing with other people where you're all kind of exploring stuff together.
Yeah. I'm just having to watch a lot of, stand up and anything on TV or online or whatever.
Yeah. And that sort of does the same thing in a way.
I found it really interesting. David O'Doherty released a new album last week.
Oh, right.
And it was the show that he was touring and he was intending to record like a special of it in a sort of a month or so. And he was going to release that. But obviously it's not happening. So he just went out and sat in his car. He
recorded it himself.
Yeah, he couldn't sleep. So at midnight he went out and just recorded it.
Great.
And it's really interesting because it was so funny. And, it's David O'Doherty, like, it's great. But you could see the bits where he'd, like, because he does this sort of thing where he'll be talking and it'll just sort of change halfway through a sentence and start questioning himself. And you can see how that would work in such a particular manner in front of an audience, but he's still doing it anyway and it was still funny.
Yeah. It's interesting when you realize that those kind of like thought processes don't necessarily need the audience there to work. They can just be, you're just listening to somebody's brain and how it works anyway. And obviously laughter helps that because it helps you realize where those responses are supposed to happen. But at the same time, it's still funny to just hear somebody explore their thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. It's made me think that maybe I could do some Zoom gigs because I haven't done any really. I've done like sort of panel show type things, but
I've done a couple and I find them very hard.
Yeah.
Just personally, like I think it's a nice format and I've seen other people do really well with it, but I struggle with it just because you can't really, even the ones where the audience are like in the room, in the Zoom chat with you so that you can hear the odd bit of laughter, you still feel a little bit like, I can't tell sometimes whether there's a delay and whether the delay means that the punchline has landed 2 seconds after I thought it had. So you might get a smattering of laughter somewhere and not quite know whether that's in response to your joke that you did 2 seconds ago or whether you did something else by accident and that's why they're laughing.
Yeah, without realizing in the room, picture knows.
You're so aware of that stuff and you know exactly what's happening at any given second. But with Zoom, there's so much like your distance from people that I just found I didn't know how to control what was coming across or how to control the timing of what I was doing or anything like that. So I really struggled with it myself.
Yeah.
But there's people doing great stuff with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
just
a thing to get your head around.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I think it's becoming inevitable now, isn't it? You've got to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing that everyone's got to try.
Yeah. Because obviously the driving gigs have started, which look like they work, but are also really weird.
Yeah, it's an odd thing.
It's very, very weird. And obviously there's no live performances
as
an official rule. But yeah, some people are sort of finding ways around it. And So yeah, it'd be nice if that happens, but oh my god, I don't know. I don't understand why they think gigs like that would be super spreaders. Obviously, people laughing will sort of expel air, but
yeah. But in terms of gatherings, it's like, you know, people keep posting those pictures of aeroplanes with people sat next to each other with masks on, and you know, there's as many people sitting next to each other in close quarters there as there would be at most stand-up gigs. Like, you know, most stand-up gigs on average probably play to an audience of 100 tops.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at most clubs and things. So yeah, you do wonder why they've done the prioritizing that they have. But you know, we'll just see when it comes back, I guess.
Because many people have argued, obviously, like pubs have opened and many people have said, you know, oh, it's for the economy. And I get that. But they've also proven, obviously, there was a bit of an insurgence of money sort of coming out yesterday that's brilliant. But the entertainment, like the arts, produce more money than like football in a year for the country. So
yeah, it's such a huge part of it. Yeah. And yet, really not the thing that feels like it's a priority at the moment.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, we've run out of EastEnders episodes.
Have we?
Apparently, yeah. Someone mentioned that the other day.
Whoa.
But it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, yeah.
We're running out of TV, so everything's being produced. I've noticed more and more adverts at the minute are people in their kitchen.
It's like lockdown ads. Everything filmed on phones and stuff.
It's so weird.
It's really weird. Don't know when that'll go back to normal.
Yeah.
But all we can do is try and kind of get through it with whichever things we like doing.
Absolutely. Well, I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying. It's my fiance.
There she is. Hello.
Joss said hello.
Hi.
She said hello.
Great. Oh, that's good. I'm going to have to head off in a minute, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But before you do, I should say, so the other day I recorded with Brennan Rees, and he had an Earl Grey Strong from T-Pigs, and I'd not had that yet, so I've decided to have it today. And, and it is nice, but as he pointed out, it is strong.
Yeah.
As it says on the packet, it's a little bit too... Yeah, it's quite nice.
It's a whole kind of corner of the tea world that I've not really dipped into.
A good way to go is a Lady Grey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit more tasty.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Earl Grey's good, but Lady Grey's delicious.
Well, I've got a few avenues to follow up on there. I've got this Moroccan mint, and I've got the guarana, and now I've got Lady Grey to try as well.
Yeah, good.
So I'll let you know what I make of them all.
Yeah. Oh, I've got some tea emergency questions, which I normally ask, so we'll just blast through those quickly.
Yeah, sure.
So what is your... Do you drink a lot of tea?
I do coffee. Oh, mostly. Okay. I do between 2 and 3 instant coffees a day, which is probably way too much. Probably not good for me. But I do that, and then sometimes in the afternoon, I'll have a peppermint tea.
Oh, lovely.
Just to calm me down, because the afternoons are more sort of thinky time. It's less about busyness and more about, okay, let's take this slowly. So I'll have a peppermint tea in the afternoon sometimes.
A reflection time.
And then the rest of the time, trying to drink just water or...
Yeah.
I mean, I drink a lot of Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
but
me too.
I'm trying to cut down.
Oh, you and I are basically the same person, except I don't drink coffee. But
right.
Yeah, I'm basically Dr. Pepper or water or tea.
Yeah.
So, nice. So, yeah, peppermint tea. Who's that made by? Any in particular or just sort of...
I think I normally have Twinings.
Nice.
But I'll just get the cheapest box of peppermint tea that they have in whatever shop I'm in. But I think Twinings crops up most often.
Twinings make a solid tea. Plus,
they're good.
Plus, you're, you know, friends with the.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nostalgia thing, really. It reminds me of old friends.
Old Timmy Twinings is that's what I've named him.
Yeah.
Now, right. So, obviously, presumably, you don't dip biscuits in, you know.
No. I don't do that with any every now and again I'll have a breakfast tea.
Yeah.
And even then I don't dip, just because I don't know whether it's my dipping technique or the types of biscuit I'm using, but I find it's very rare that I dip a biscuit in a tea without losing part of it.
Yeah.
And that just brings the whole tea experience down for me.
Yeah, you don't need that.
No.
As it happens, I had on Brennan's podcast, I had that mint tea, the gunpowder green one that you've got there.
Oh, yeah.
Moroccan one. I had that, and he told me about using a penguin as a straw.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Where you bite the corners off and then drink it through it. And then you just put the whole penguin in your mouth and the inside, it just melts. It's incredible. Wow. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I would fully recommend it. But
and if you do it with the mint one, does it turn into like a mint chocolate?
Well, that's
penguin?
The thing. I had a mint penguin. So,
ah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So difficult to know.
So I had the mint tea with the mint penguin.
Tea.
The whole thing just went through. It's incredible.
Nice.
It's very good. So, yeah.
I should have got that. I should have got some to prep.
Yeah. If you get a chance, try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'd be interested to know what a coffee through a gold bar would
be. Yeah. Probably. I reckon they'd complement each other well. They're both quite strong flavours.
I think they might, yeah. Try it. Let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. Will do. Will do.
Oh, right. Now, this is are farts funny?
Yes.
Yeah.
But only when they weren't intended to be.
Right. Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Only when the person doing them is genuinely embarrassed about it. Then they're very funny.
Okay. Do you think it's
think
the
people,
embarrassment?
People do that because they think it's funny.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. But when there's embarrassment involved, yeah, I like them a lot.
Yeah. I particularly like it when one slips out and the person just pretends that it never happened. So my dad...
And everyone knows.
Yeah, everyone knows. Like when I was... I remember when I was younger, my dad and I were walking around a card shop in Southend High Street. And,
right.
We're looking for a birthday card for my mum. We're sort of flicking through the cards. And then this old man just sort of walked up next to us and like proper squeaker.
Wow, long one.
And me and my dad looked at each other and just sort of started giggling. And this man's just carried on like, like there was no one else there. It was definitely him.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
That's quite good of him. No shame, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe you reach a point in your life where it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. First step, gardening.
Yeah.
Next step.
Just farting in public. Why not?
And it's absolutely fine.
Gotta do it.
Yeah. Cool. Right, that about wraps it up.
Thank you for chatting to me.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on, man. It's nice,
been lovely.
Nice to have you on here.
Thank you for the tea. I've enjoyed them a lot.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah, and hopefully when this all goes back to normal, we could do this in person.
Yeah, sounds lovely. Yeah. Yeah, I hope we're able to visit people again soon. That'd be nice.
I'd love to see people.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, I must get on with some bits.
Cool.
Thank you very much again.
No worries, man. Have a good day.
Will do. Speak to you soon.
Yeah,
I'll send you that stuff.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah,
and thanks to the listeners as well.
Absolutely. I was going to say that. You said it for me.
Ah, right.
No, it's
sorry.
Fine.
Sorry
yeah,
for
it's,
robbing your
like,
outro.
It's like the intro all over again.
Yeah.
It's nice to come full circle, I think, in these things. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you later, man.
Goodbye,
thanks.
Everyone.
Bye.
So that was Jos Norris. What an absolute pleasure. What a lovely human being. Absolute oddball, and he's incredible. Very clever man. So, yeah, definitely worth going to check out his show, which, again, is 20th to the 26th of July 2020, this next week, if you're listening to this in time. You can get that through Citizen Ticket via Objectively Funny. All the links in that will be in the podcast description, so go and check that out. And also go check out his social media things. It's all at Jos Norris. Don't forget to check out at Tea Party Pod. That is the letter T, Party Pod. Go and like and subscribe and tell your friends and write a review on iTunes and all of that. Also, please do get in touch on any of the social media platforms, including emails, which is teapartypod@gmail.com. Get in touch there and let us know if you are left-handed and hate cucumber, because I think it could be a thing. Also, very excitingly, I have got my first gig out of lockdown on the 24th. That's next Friday. I think all the tickets are sold out for that, but if you are near Southend, go and check that out. It's going to be really good. But also, Ross McGrain, previous guest, via Little Smash Comedy, is running nights at the Temple Cafe in Leon C, which he's going to keep doing those, and the lineups look to be very, very good. So go and check those out. Get tickets early because they sell out quickly. Oh, I think that's it. I hope you're well. I hope you're getting back to work and some level of normality before anything might get worse again. If it does. Hopefully it doesn't. Fingers crossed, eh? Let's all hope. Let's all wear our masks and keep our distance. And in the meantime, just be safe. Be good to each other. Drink some tea. I love you. Thanks for listening. Bye.